astronomer Owen Gingerich has written a book that revolves around another book. The other book is On the Revolutions of the Heavenly Spheres. It was written in the 1500s by the Polish astronomer Nicolaus Copernicus, the book in which Copernicus argued that the planets revolve around the sun, not around the earth. The 20th century writer Arthur Koestler referred to it as the book nobody read, and Professor Gingerich takes that phrase as his book's title and tells us how he put Koestler's appraisal to the test. The book nobody read is his story of tracking down all the surviving copies of Copernicus's work, figuring out who owned them, what those readers wrote in the margins as they read, in short, what they made of Copernicus's revolutionary scientific thesis. Professor Gingerich, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And to make a long story short, it wasn't the book that nobody read.
We can't say exactly it was a bestseller, although by those standards, every important library seemed to want a copy of it. I think Arthur Koestler got hung up by the idea that people didn't seem to get it. Here it is, to us, such a revelation that the Earth goes around the sun. We don't worry about hurtling at a dizzying speed as spaceship Earth, but that was a very unsettling idea in the 16th century. And the idea was not immediately taken up as light from heaven by everybody. So we sort of think, well, what was the matter with them? Were they stupid or were they blinded by superstition? Why didn't they get it? They were reading it with different eyes than we do, and it took a long time. And that's what was kind of interesting about looking at all these comments written by astronomers in the margins, because you could see the very slow assimilation that was taking place for this literally revolutionary book.
And the people who were reading it and who were making notes in the margins were among the finest scientific minds of their time.
Oh, yes, the readers were the top people. I mean, I found the book from Johannes Kepler, from Galileo Galilei, and lots of other great astronomers.
One of my favorite parts of your book is the list of the hazards facing a book's survival over 400 years. And one of the hazards, one of the threats to an old book was the bookworm.
I think a lot of our students think that bookworms are an imaginary construct, referring to people who bury themselves into books. But you can see some of these books with the little round drill holes where the larvae of the Death Watch beetle has worked its way through. And it can take years for them to mine through a book and essentially completely destroy it.
You traveled all over the world conducting a census of copies of Copernicus's book. Tell us about what sorts of places you would find these books.
I found one in a monastery. I found many in great national libraries, some in private collections. The oddest place I found a copy was in the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. That's a museum of decorative art. And why did they have Copernicus's book? Because of its binding, which happened to be a fake binding that was made in the 19th century, but they collected it as a piece of decorative art.
Sometimes conquerors knew enough about the value of this thing to take it with them back home with an army that had just occupied Poland or Germany or wherever?
Very important. A lot of copies were taken by the Swedes during the 30 Years' War. And as one of my Polish colleagues said, you know, the books have been particularly safe up there in Sweden.
But then the books from Sweden, weren't they taken by the Swedish queen who converted to Catholicism down to the Vatican?
Yes, indeed. One very important copy was taken by Queen Christina, and she took it down to Rome with her, and I found it in the Vatican Library.
At one point in your journey, in your research, you tried to calculate how many copies would have been printed.
Yes, no surviving records tell us how many were printed. I've tried several different ways, and I figure out that probably between 400 and 500 copies were printed, which is quite interesting because more than half of them have survived. That's because people early on saw it as a very important book. Eventually, it became the cornerstone for modern science, and that's why the book is so incredibly valuable today. There is a copy coming up at auction this summer from the Earl of Macclesfield's collection, and the estimated bid is $1.5 million.
Is it an especially perfect copy, or?
Well, it's a really nice copy, but not superb. But it means that now, I guess I've seen about $500 million worth of copies of Copernicus's book.
Professor Gingrich, thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Owen Gingrich is professor of astronomy at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics and author of, is the title of the book, The Book Nobody Read. You can hear his reading from the book at our website, npr.org.